I just want to play Wave Race.
Too bad. Bow to your celestial god, and then we shall go jet ski.
Anyways, welcome to the Metal Gamers Podcast. This is episode 194. I'm the host, known as Kyle McNamara. I'm joined with Micah McGowan.
If I'm not playing Baldur's Gate, I'm not living.
Uh-oh. He's dying. Help. And we're also joined with Michael Greenwell.
In a world where every person is hot, is anyone hot?
Ooh. That's why charisma isn't about looks anymore, because everyone's equally hot.
Yeah, especially in this universe.
This is the hot one. Hot ones, if you will. If this is your first time listening, go to patreon.com/themetalgamerspodcast. You can also check us out on social media. We won't talk to you there, but we'll talk to you in the Discord. So go over there instead.
Kyle, I think Micah actually did die. He's gone.
Oh, shit. Oh, well. We'll have to talk about this sick-ass game while he's away, so it's unfortunate.
I'm back. Okay, what's up?
All right. Interesting. Fuck. I'm using my Speak to the Dead spell.
Yeah.
I get five questions with this guy.
I got an amulet for that shit.
Nice. But, yeah, I guess we'll talk about Baldur's Gate 3 for the most part. Michael, you have purchased the game as of yesterday, I believe.
Correct.
Is that the truth? Yes? Okay. So me and Micah have been grossly obsessed with it since early access, but especially since the release, now that we can actually sink our teeth as far as we want to in it. Yeah, it's a problem. It's keeping me up at night in fun ways. It's the last thing I can think about before going to sleep. Like, yo, what's going on? What's going on in this world? And I'm having a blast with it, I gotta say.
Even Kirsten's playing it right now to my left.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's obsessed with it too.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to be. Like, this is a return to form when it comes to classic RPGs, computer RPGs, if you will, where it gives you a fuck ton of decisions, and those decisions actually fucking matter. Like, in every step of the game, too. Like, every little step that you're making is like, oh, did you do this? Whoa, well, it either locks you out of this or gives you an entirely different path on a different scene.
Yeah, you said the wrong thing. Well, that sucks. Move on.
Yeah.
I made a choice, or in fact, I did not make a choice in season one or in act one, and it bit me in the ass in act three.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a lot of fucking shit.
I'm not super far into it, but I did put quite a bit of time into it yesterday. This game is fucking magical.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Have you gotten this, like, you haven't seen that opening cutscene and, like, that tutorial and stuff before, right?
I'd seen clips of it, but I had not seen, like, the whole thing altogether. Wow. What an intro to a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It drops you right in the shit, which is very cool.
Yeah. And the mystery and the implications are very interesting as well. You could just straight up kill companions as you meet them.
Yep.
And just have no companions, which they give you an out for, which I thought was interesting, with another thing that you have to go find and another thing in this crypt, which is a whole nother character. I don't even know if I can say certain things, you know.
Yeah,
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, there's a...
That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it because, like, I don't want to be specific with anything in this game because everything's a spoiler for now. I feel like it'll be months before we can start talking about specifics because I really want people to
experience
it. Well,
I feel like there's a few things we can talk about, like, what kind of class did you start with and race?
What did you guys start with?
I start with a human sorcerer known as Steiger the Sorcerer.
Right.
But I also have two other playthroughs, one which is a Vengeance Paladin, and the other one, whose name is Jorgunder, which is my Dark Urge playthrough that I've began.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, but like on the Origins, like if you look at the Origin characters, there's a preview and there's like a whole cutscene. Like,
it's like
right
a whole stage play like thing.
Yeah. It's like them explaining their background and everything like that.
It's so cool.
I didn't even catch that. What the fuck, Joe?
You better be recording, Joe.
You better be fucking recording, I swear to God.
I'm recording now.
Great. You son of a bitch.
Awesome.
I said I was on my way. Come on, guys.
It's not quick enough, Joe. Respond
Did
back.
Did you? Is that true? Did yes. you say it 3 minutes ago? Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Then you do it.
You're sitting Listen, here in the throes of Baldur's Gate.
I was having a losing debate with a pair of curtains, okay? Cut me some slack.
I will do no such thing.
Yeah, you know better.
No slacks for you. You're doing this podcast pantless, sir.
You're technically correct.
That's why your camera's off. It all makes sense.
Oh, hang on.
Anyway.
Big reveal. Hold on.
Big reveal.
We still can't tell.
No, it's a small reveal. Don't worry.
It'll build up over the podcast.
I believe you. But
so anywho.
Yeah. Like multiple playthroughs. We're going to do a co-op run with Mike and Mariah and Daniel, and that's going to be fun. And as soon as, like I said, either Joe or Josh gets a copy of this game, I'm down to do a co-op stream when everyone's like comfortable, like in their own single player campaigns and everything, and everyone's down to do it. I'll play as many fucking runs of this game as I can.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Mike,
I'm hearing so many great things about it.
What did you end up making, Mike?
I ended up making a character I had had planned for one of our D&D campaigns eventually.
Ah.
A character named Tal Salas. It is a tiefling warlock that I wanted to make.
Cool.
Long time. I've had that one in the pocket for a long time. So I decided to make it for this because I don't know if I'll ever get around to making that character for D&D. So.
Cool.
Tall salads it is.
I made a...
Tall salads. It's so funny. I made the same joke to myself already.
That's great.
I made I blended two of my D&D characters, actually. I blended Mesrax from my online campaign. So I made a Tiefling Oath of Vengeance Paladin.
Cool.
And chose the specific subclass of Tiefling because they get their own smite spells. Some of them do. So kind of stacked that on top of each other. Then I made because Kyle prompted me to a little bit with his Dark Urge playthrough start. I made a human wizard playthrough with Dark Urge. And that allowed me to do a couple Dark Urge things right off the bat, which were really fun. And then I just got to another Dark Urge temptation in camp that was like, I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
and I'm super nervous.
This game, more than probably any game before it, has made me go, I want to make that choice.
Makes you nervous.
I want to watch it.
Yeah. But you don't want to watch it, and then you start thinking about the consequences, and you're like, holy fuck, like, how is this going
to
play
Micah,
out?
I'm going to have to talk to you about this one scene afterwards. I kind of told Mike and Joe, I'm not going into any details about it, but the scene was so graphic that I was like trying to make the choice because I'm like, yeah, I already saved scum beforehand because I'm just going to save scum the fuck out of this game.
I do too, yeah.
Yeah, I want things to turn out my way. And especially if things go super south, which they very easily
they
can.
They do so fast.
So often.
And, oh my God.
This event was playing out and it was so gross and graphic and my character was just going through the shit and I was just like, like the whole time. And I even like started taking my headphones off and like not listening to it. The sound design, everything about it was
incredible.
Just fucking gross.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I was like, did this even help me or did I just like do this for no reason? But then I got a reward that I was like, oh, it actually made that worth it. That's crazy.
So...
It's so wild.
On my first playthrough, I am in Act 3. And as a compliment to the game, it is so detailed and like the world design that they have is so incredible that Act 3 struggles a little bit with loading level of detail in. So I've decided that's part of what prompted me to start another playthrough was for them to get a couple more patches out to help with Act 3 a little bit. Because the optimization in that area is just not that great yet, but it's cramming
a lot.
There
is also a memory leak issue. Like, I don't know if you're aware, but apparently if you save your game and just like restart the entire game, it'll usually run a lot better.
Yeah, I noticed
so
the
like
longer I
for
play,
long periods
the worse
of time,
it, yeah, the worse yeah, the it worse runs, the longer, run. The longer I play. Because like at first I was going to compliment this game to be like, man, this game runs fucking smooth.
It
for
does
how
sometimes.
Detailed it is. Wow, yeah. Holy shit. It's fucking good. There's no hitching. But then a couple hours into a session, it starts hitching like a motherfucker.
Yeah. It's got some issues.
Yeah.
Like there was literally a camp fire scene that played out that I was like, I already did this. What the fuck? And it just played out exactly the same. I was like,
yeah,
I didn't like that.
There's definitely some design choices that are interesting. Like a long rest is a story mechanic. So
yeah.
So like if you do something or don't do something and then take a long rest, that's 8 hours. Things happen while you're sleeping. So like you'll wake up.
Makes it a tough choice.
Yeah, it's long rest is also just a strategic move. So
I need these spells. I need like my health. I need the short rest back. Yeah. Like when you absolutely have to recharge and even your characters are bitching. Like,
yeah.
Oh, sleep. Like, yeah. Okay.
Well, so but, in the camp, there's a thing called the traveler's chest, which if you're like sending camp supplies there or like any other items you can send to camp, right?
Yep.
Well, if you ever load and this just happened to my sister, I had to help her out with this. She went to camp and her traveler's chest wasn't there at all. And she was like, well, I can't long rest because my supplies are in that chest. So when she goes to long rest, they're not popping up, right? And I was like, yeah, just take the long rest. I think you're in a story beat. And she was.
Or it's in a different location because I took a long rest like in a different location. And it actually like
changes locations.
Changes like when you go to camp, it's actually in a whatever biome you're in.
Yeah,
like
which I thought was super sick.
It's super cool,
fucking cool.
I've seen a but ton
like
of
I was looking
camps.
All fucking over for my chest, and ended up being in its own little fucking room, like way off to the side.
Was that one of the crypt ones?
Would have, yeah,
yeah.
And I was like, yeah, what thing. The fuck?
Okay. Hers, unfortunately, was not there at all, and the game didn't care if she took a long rest with supplies or not. I don't know why it didn't have her chest there. I couldn't tell you why. But after she long rest, the second she woke up, it was there. So weird.
I believe that. I believe that shit, too.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Had some bugs. Like, there was a fight I was in where it was two or three different levels. And I was on the middle level. And one of my characters got knocked down to the bottom level. Mm-hmm. And they could have very easily gotten up and Misty stepped back up to where they needed to be. But for some reason it just didn't, if you were down in that first level, it wouldn't load the second one and you just couldn't see it. So I was like, I can't do what I need to do. So now I'm just stuck down here until I figure out how to get out another way.
Man, it's definitely got its small issues, but God damn, dude,
the overall package
is
still,
so
like,
good. It's so
worth
good.
The money. It's still worth the time. Like, the writing is so good. Every character is believable. The facial expressions are believable.
Yeah.
I want to hear everybody's story.
Facial animations.
I can literally walk up to any single NPC and be like, yeah, tell me what's going on. Like, please talk
to me.
Like, no one's boring, you know?
Yeah. Dude, I can't wait to pick this up.
It's a... Yeah, I know Kyle made fun of me for it earlier, but it definitely has that type of like Skyrim feel to it where you can just...
a little nerd.
Yeah, a little nerd. You can just like, you can make a different character, try a different play style, go through the game and have a completely wildly different experience. Like, I know a lot of people scoffed and joked like, oh, the game's got like 11,000 endings or something like something crazy like that. But it's like, dude, when you think about all the slightly different variations of everything that I've experienced so far up to Act 3, I'm like, yeah, I can kind of believe it at this point. Like, it's pretty wild.
Things have already cascaded in a way that I'm like, how are my decisions going to keep going?
Like, even just having a spell slotted on one of your party members, all of a sudden, like if you have read detect thoughts on a party member, that completely changes the way you can handle shit now.
Yeah.
If you have talk to animals spell, like, well, now you have that just like in your fucking roster of things you could possibly do to change the course of how you do this quest.
Talk to animals is so fucking bonkers.
I haven't had it. I don't have it yet.
It was crazy in Divinity, so I can only imagine what they've done in this.
Walk up to a random rat and they will tell you something that you literally did not know before. And you're like, I could have just missed this? Like, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
Valerian does.
Yeah, I've learned it really fast. You could just miss a fucking lot. And they are just okay with that. And that's really brave for a game to do. It's something that other developers will just not do, is let you miss something.
Yep.
And while most of the time missing something feels not fun, in this case, it's like, oh, I totally fucked that up. I'm not going to be able to see the other side of that. The next time I come through here, I will be able to do that. Yep. You know,
that's why I have 3 concurrent playthroughs right now, which is a rarity for me. Usually, I'm like, I got my guy. I'm going to be the good guy. and that's that. That's usually good enough for me. But
oh, dude, I can't wait to be a dick.
This game demands variety.
Oh yeah, what my
I'm very curious
is,
how the co-op stuff works.
Right, I think it works pretty similarly to other Larian games. Is what it seems. Yeah.
There is a out of all the bugs that I've heard about, there is one bug that I find to be kind of inexcusable, and I hope they fix very soon. Do not join anyone's campaign and in progress. Whoever you join as or whoever you take over cannot leave the party ever after
what
you're done.
Fuck?
Yeah.
Really?
So if that's I joined Kyle's game and I took control of Lazelle, he could never get Lazelle to leave the party. But if I joined his campaign as a custom character, he would have to kill that character. And even then, it doesn't free the party slot.
Oh, wow.
So we found that I actually found this out, unfortunately, with my sister, and she had to kill my character that I joined as, and then that didn't fix it. And thankfully, we only played together for like an hour. So she didn't have to backtrack too much, especially since she had experienced some things. So she kind of knew how to get through it. But it was a bummer. And I found that on the subreddit. I'm assured they know that that bug is real and they're trying to get it fixed. That's a huge, big issue.
Yeah, it's
that's terrible.
So just a heads up to anyone listening or to you guys as well.
What background did you say you ran with, Mike?
Oh, charlatan. So
nice.
So I get inspiration every time I'm a fucking dick to somebody. And which I kind of wish I hadn't chose because I'm my heart's going good boy most of the time.
Yeah.
So Lazelle fucking hates me because I'm just like, hey, stop being a bitch. And she's just like, fuck you. But then Shadowheart and Gale are behind me going like, yeah, man, be a good dude. But Gale is what you hate Gale. I love Gale.
I hate Gale.
Why?
I hate Gale because he's trying to take my fucking spot. I'm like, that's you don't have one.
That's so funny.
Gale. We don't fucking need you. Here.
That's funny. That's why I like him because he reminds me so much of like a Kyle character. I'm just
me and him actually argue just back and forth. Yeah, it's cool because I have a sorcerer and there's specific dialogue for Gale as a sorcerer. It's like, oh, you're a wizard, you fucking book nerd. Like I just do this shit for fun,
fucking nerd. Well, it's so funny. I had a dialogue with him where he was like, are you a wizard or like, are you like versed in magic? He's like, since I'm a warlock, he was like, you mean my patron gives me powers beyond your imagination, then sure. He's like, no, what I meant is, are you studied as in a wizard, which you clearly are not? And I was like, fuck you. It's like the only time he was a dick.
So because in my Dark Urge playthrough, I am a wizard. When I've encountered Gale and he like sticks his hand out and he's like, hey, help, give me a hand. And I was like, actually, give me a hand. And I took his. And now I don't know what's going to happen with that.
Oh, he's dead.
I don't know if he's dead. I just cut his hand off. He should still be alive.
I also have the wizard hand.
Yeah.
My dark urge is a barbarian. I'm fine with talking about that because they literally showed that in their
Exactly. That's
a
giant reveal.
YouTube video.
Yeah.
But barbarian Dark Urge is the best.
Yeah, it seems like it would be.
Well, so just, what's wrong with this dude? Like, he was just like talking to your companions. They look so fucking uncomfortable with
you. Have you admitted any of your Dark Urge tendencies to them? I have not. I've been keeping all of it and trying to hide it all. It's been hilarious.
I'm very upfront about wanting to murder.
What are they going to do about everything? It? Stop you?
Like, I'm just giant fucking dude.
Wait, it sounds like you're doing the Dark Urge path that I wanted to do. I just wanted to do Dark Urge as Griff, but he's just open about it.
Wait, what did you make as a Dark Urge character? A barbarian what? Dragonborn? Orc?
I think he's just human, actually.
Okay.
Well, yeah, he's just human. Big dude.
Yeah, ooh. Okay. Well, dude, I love that the body type selection for 1, 2, 3, and 4 is like
real messy here.
Is like small guy, little girl, huge motherfucking guy, huge motherfucking girl. Like their body sizes are so funny, dude. Like,
yeah,
you either want to be awesome, normal size or fucking huge.
Yeah,
yeah. They really gave options to any type of person because you could be a masculine bodied giant person who goes as female but has a dick, you know.
And you're just completely
and
purple.
Female voice and you're purple. Man, like you just like do, hey, you want to be anything, go ahead.
Well, so it's Dungeons and Dragons.
So for my Dark Urge playthrough, I had Megan come in and I left the room and I had her make my guardian character. So I have idea what that character looks like. And I was in a cutscene, or I was in a scene that I had never been in before in the Goblin camp. And in this scenario, I couldn't get out of my bindings. So I was like, preserve your strength, right? Because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And I'm a wizard. So like, I'm by myself. Like, this is not a good situation.
Oh, yeah.
A lady came out of the portal and slit my guard's throat and killed the other person in the room and left. And I was like, what the fuck? And I called Megan in and I was like, is this the guardian you made? She goes, nope.
Yeah.
So I have no fucking clue what that was about. I was like, oh my God.
God, this game's crazy. I just made myself as my guardian. I thought it would be funny.
That's dope. That's cool as fuck. I sent Kyle the photo, but the first guardian I made, because I spent so much time making my tiefling, I just hit random a bunch of times. And so I finally hit this like super hot elf lady with like a nose bridge piercing and like dreads like of
every
like
color dyed
or green and gray. And I sent the picture to Kyle and I said, I can fix her. This bitch has got total ruin. I was like, she's got total ruin your life energy, but I can fix her.
Absolutely.
I don't even know what the guardian is. It doesn't explain it at all. It's just which like, I love. A guardian. And I was like, okay, I guess my guardian is me.
Which is kind of interesting because it's a little different from what it was in early access.
The early access cutscenes versus the cutscenes you have in the main game with this guardian, completely different. Not even everything from early access, like a lot of that stuff, completely gone, gutted. Not even in the main game. Like the Nautiloid, completely different. That whole Nautiloid intro tutorial is not even the same as the early access. It's crazy.
Oh, the Nautilus,
yeah.
It's a lot better.
Lazael's introduction is the most hardcore shit ever. She does like a cool flip while a dragon passes overhead. Come on, get fucked. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I tried to kill the dude with the big flaming sword.
You can.
Because it was like, go to the console. And I was like, I'm not going to that fucking console.
So, two things.
I didn't succeed. I tried twice. I didn't succeed. I got really close one time, though.
Did you get Shadow Heart out?
No, but I know there's a way to like get around that. Because I am subscribed to XP to level 3.
If you get Shadow Heart out, you can command him to drop the sword.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I did not command him.
I was trying
him.
Not to say that. So.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a lot of like early meta stuff.
Cool to discuss like the D&D rules and how they actually apply in this game, because there are like an infinite ways to go about any given event, and it's just crazy to me. Like, I was completely ambushed this one time, and I remember you telling me about how you could throw a potion down on the ground and smack it and get everybody in it,
or that you just throw it.
I huddled everyone around a potion of haste and hit that shit, and we all got extra actions and XP.
I was like,
let's fucking go. And I was like, we're about to crack out and just fucking kill everyone in this room.
So
like, let's do these drugs real quick together and then murder everybody.
That's so smart.
So one thing, so the co-op playthrough that we're about to start with Kyle, my sister, and Daniel, the reason I wanted to go cleric warlock, one of the reasons is you can get twin spell as a warlock. Right. Real early, and I wanted to be able to twin spell Guiding Bolt to give out two advantages at a time.
Oh, that's so smart. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, hey, that's guess good. What? If you also hasted me, I could shoot out four Guiding Bolts. Yeah. Christ. Like, dude, I love the way you can stack stuff. You can stack a potion of Gigantic or something, which will and give someone the enlarge status. Well, then you can also enlarge them.
Oh.
And guess what? If they're a druid who's a bear gets leap. Leap takes no fall damage. You can leap onto an enemy from off a cliff and do like 100,000 damage.
Jesus Christ.
All the divinity you can break.
Yeah,
you can
do all that shit in here.
It's in this game.
Like, every time I find there's empty boxes and bones, I give to my barbarian because they have like a bonus action throw.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, make sure you have something on you to throw at somebody. So it's bones or boxes.
Give them tavern brawler when you get a feat for them, so they can so improvised weapons are just insane.
Or
sick.
If you get the advantage on a fight, have your mage drop mage hand, and also drop a bunch of alchemist fire and grease bottles around the mage hand, and the mage hand can just throw stuff onto the battlefield while you're fighting.
Oh, sick. That's cool.
Dude,
just set them all up for your mage hand. Like, here, here's like a little all artillery. Ammo.
Yep. Yep. So give all that stuff to your mage. Yep.
That's fucking hilarious.
I had a moment with Shadowheart where she learned spiritual weapon, and I was like, yeah, I got this shit on lock. I know how to play this shit.
It's fucking broken. It's just as broken just like as it is in D&D. The game. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, you can place that spiritual weapon. And dude, enemies get weirdly obsessed with spiritual weapon. Like, they will just target spiritual weapon all.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just good to drop to pull their aggro. Like, they get obsessed with it.
I mean, it's this bright, shining weapon in the sky, so I guess it's pretty fucking attention-grabbing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do think clerics are probably the most broken class in the game, though.
I mean, they are in D&D as well, so.
The level of, like, as Shadowheart gets higher up, like, I just hit level 10 on my other playthrough
Good God.
That is, dude, clerics like are broken. Dude, nothing compared
Warlock
to clerics.
I've one-shot a boss on accident with fucking Warlock with a free fucking action.
Well, they get level like, 5 spells, like, off the bat.
Eldritch Blast, which, with a push.
Yeah, with push. Yeah. I was able to kill an enemy with 200 hit points with telekinesis. I picked him up and threw him in the water. And they were made of metal, so they just sank. And I was like, well, battle over.
Rust in peace.
Yep.
Just like Megadeth said.
Well, there's that video of Matt Mercer breaking the fucking game, too. Which is with so boxes. Funny. With the boxes. With the CEO
watching him going, oh. Like, as he realized what he was about to do.
Well, then he did it, and the guy was like, I've never even thought about that. That's so cool.
That's the CEO of Larian. That's
Sven. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. they haven't thought about that shit. Like,
which is funny.
The answer is always yes. So, like, that just proves how good the game is.
Yeah. You know?
Well, what's funny, too, is, like, what Matt did wasn't, like, no one's ever thought of. It was, like, stack a shit ton of a hilarious amount of crates and then use an arrow of transposition. But it was like, no, like, yeah, you just don't think to do it there in that particular spot to get to that area. Like, but yeah, it's
stupid.
It's all available to you. It's so crazy. It. Mariah sent me a picture the other night. She goes, oh, what's that? Can't get to a pesky chest? Mage hand, throw that bitch at you.
True.
I want to play it with Joe before he plays it once.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
You cannot stop me.
Shit, Joe's already beat the game twice.
He's not allowed to learn anything about it before.
He purchased it in this conversation.
I wouldn't worry about it.
This is how we do it here.
Well, what's so funny is like Joe.
It's happened so many times.
Well, Joe was the one who was always like, well, last episode Mike bought Remnant. I think.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Well, I regret that. Ago,
but yes.
But Joe was the one who
bought whatever Josh was talking about last time we were here.
I mean, I know Kyle was also big on Divinity, but Joe was like the Divinity guy. And then we're all playing this made by that studio and Joe hasn't even touched it yet. That's so crazy.
Well, it's because he's in the middle of Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, he also usually doesn't buy games on day of release.
Yeah. How's Tears of the Kingdom going, buddy?
I am no lifing that shit. And I can't tell you the last time I played a game that's wrought with so many puzzles that I'll solve. And I will turn around and say, I don't think that's how I was supposed to do that.
It's just another
great, different formula, got the same result.
It's another great game of like the answer is always yes.
Imagination, like, the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
The absolute bullshit I've created with the Ultra Hand, it's absolute. Fucking phenomenal. but as I said, I borrowed this game 2-3 weeks ago from you, Kyle.
Yeah,
something like that. I've got all four temples done. I'm on my second row of hearts, got the Master Sword.
That's crazy.
I'm fucking plowing through this shit.
Nice.
It's excellent. It's so good. I cannot recommend it enough.
Excellent.
Have you gotten into the depths yet?
Yeah, I have most of the depths mapped out.
Oh, wow. Okay, damn.
It's fucking brutal, man.
Did you go on a fun minecart adventure?
Yeah, with the shield or without the shield?
Without, like, I put like a minecart down there and put like a giant, like, rockets on the back of it and a light on the front. Just like the depths just became like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. It was a good time.
The depths are my plaything.
Yeah.
And I do cripple myself a lot with this kind of game. Cause I'll sit on like upgrades and just not cash them in for the longest time. Like, I had 28 of those fucking shrine tokens to cash in on health or stamina. Jesus, I'm like, yeah, Christ. I get around to it. Same thing with armor upgrades. Yeah, it's happened twice now. same thing with armor upgrades. I'll sit on base level armor forever, and I'm like, all right, I should probably go to a great fairy and get this taken care of. So I'm
get this looked at.
Yeah, I should get this looked at by a professional.
But even though weapon durability is still there, you've heard it's not as egregious in Tears of the Kingdom because of that fusibility and just finding all the new cool crazy shit you can attach to this to get this effect. I attached two halberds together, so it's a knight's halberd's halberd is what the it was called. And I'm fucking poking people from a goddamn mile away.
That's Jeez, fucking Billy, stupid, two halberds. Dude.
It's so fucking dumb.
God.
But it's the trade-off in a lot of ways for like the spirits that you had in Breath of the Wild. There you have these like aspects of sages that follow you around and fight with you, which are just as cool, but also kind of annoying because they kind of get in the way sometimes. And you accidentally activate their ability while you're trying to pick shit up because it's the same mapped button, and it's an absolute pain in the ass when it doesn't work. But when it works really well, and I am sitting pretty neutral on it.
All right.
But yeah, fucking excellent game. I'm going to try to beat it as fast as possible so I can get on the Baldur's Gate train. We'll see.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I've actually... Rose has been reading a lot. She got a Surface Pro like 6 for free, so she's been using that to read. Nice. And my nights have consisted of her reading some fairy fae book. I don't even pretend to.
I guarantee you, Kirsten and Megan have already read it.
They have. It was on their recommendations.
Yeah. Y'all.
She's been reading that, and I've been just fucking plugging hours away after work, and it's been excellent.
Nice.
Parallel Fun. Play is king.
Yeah,
cool.
That's genuinely been it. I haven't touched a single other game once since I've gotten Tears of the Kingdom.
That's a big ass fucking game. The fact that you're coming up on the end of it is wild to me. Like, I felt like I put a lot of time into it, and I just like got past the first dungeon. Yay!
I did it.
The dungeons are cool, but kind of short.
Yeah, I mean they're very much like the beast from Breath of the Wild, so
yeah,
the divine beast.
Yeah.
I didn't really expect much more than that, but I still thought they were pretty cool.
And it's interesting going into these dungeons thinking under that mindset of like, oh, they brought back classic Zelda dungeons. You go into these with that mindset of I'm gonna follow the path to this the way it's intended, completely forgetting about the kit that they give you. I did that for all of them except the lightning or thunder dungeon, where I'm like, I'm done with this pyramid. I'm just gonna go through the roof.
Yep.
And just skip the entire basement.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can just skip. Like, you just kind of see where a puzzle is starting. Like, there's been many times where I'm like, oh, that's where the start of a puzzle. I'm just gonna bypass that with either the up button or this contraption I made that will surely fail at any moment.
Many contraptions have failed. Yeah. One of which killed me, fucking made me ragdoll off of Sky Island into a chasm.
That's great. That's my favorite. I remember I tried to put three parachutes onto a board, but it was uneven, so one was slightly higher than the rest of them, and then halfway up, after like 2 minutes of slowly floating upwards, like the fire caught the parachute on fire. I was like, oh fuck no, what do I do? And then it just exploded and I fell to my death. I was like, well, that was just giant wasted time.
They give you the glider super late in Tears of the Kingdom, so the entire time you're on Tutorial Island, falling, that's it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Can you just fall off Tutorial Island and get to the rest of the game?
No, they lock it off until you hit a story beat.
Gotcha.
And then like the cloud opens and you see all of Hyrule below you. It's really cool. And some of the story beats that they include, without spoiling any of it, since it's still a relatively recent game, some of it's pretty fucking crazy. Specifically what happens to Zelda. Again, not going into it. But the writing has kept me more enthralled in this one than Breath of the Wild, as great as Breath of the Wild was.
Yeah, I've heard Tears of the Kingdom's got a ton of cutscenes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
definitely a lot more.
That's cool. I feel like that's
good for me.
It's neat. I feel like the glider is actually pretty early in the game. You probably just went off in the wrong direction forever.
Is there a wrong direction?
I mean, is there a wrong direction?
I mean, like the first thing they tell you to do in after Tutorial Island is go to that city right there. If you go right there, then you get it. So,
well,
Joe, you don't like being told what to do.
Where
did you
go
there?
Go?
The opposite.
Yeah, there it is.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, you just don't get it. Yeah. Okay.
I do what I want, all right? Do you understand?
Late into your game, maybe. Yeah. Is that all?
That's it.
Good. Speaking
of
Skyrim,
these are not old games.
Well, this is an old game, which is Morrowind. I picked up some OG Xbox games the other day.
I saw, man.
And I was like, oh, Morrowind Game of the Year Edition. I actually have never played Morrowind. And I was like, how the fuck does this look on an original Xbox?
Oof. Rough. And it ain't good, bud.
Fired it up. It doesn't look great, of course, you know, but the music enthralled me, and mm-hmm. I was like, what is all this? And like, the cutscene was pretty good, the story was interesting, the voice acting was surprisingly good, and I made myself a character, and I played that game for about 3 hours.
Damn!
No, you know. Nice. the dark elf who greets you on the ship, Jib, or whatever his name is?
Yeah.
That's the same guy who you collect all his diary pages in Skyrim in the whatever
Solstheim.
Dawnguard. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Solstheim. Is it Solstheim?
The DLC for Skyrim.
Soul area.
I think so.
Solstheim was the DLC for Skyrim.
Oh, the Soul Cairn.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, okay. It's the same guy. He somewhere between the events of Morrowind and there, he found himself in that area.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Mm. Yeah. Fuck yeah. But yeah, I was having fun with it. I was like, oh man, I very much still have the freedom of what most Elder Scrolls games let me have, where I can just kind of run around, do whatever I want to do. I just took my shirt off, picked up a dagger, started swiping at people. I'm like, oh man, I can do what I want. Like,
how do you like the roll mechanics to land an attack?
I don't like that, but it is what it is. I've heard plenty of shit about it.
But now you've traded those roll mechanics for new roll mechanics.
Yeah. Yep. It's true. Now, Baldur's Gate has brought the roll mechanics back to, we'll show you. Do you want to see it? We'll show you.
I'd rather see it.
That roll thing is very satisfying.
Yeah. Well, in a game like Baldur's Gate, it totally fucking makes sense. But in Morrowind, where it's like, I've pointed at the man, I did the work, I've closed the gap, I swiped at the dude, and you're telling me I missed? Fuck you. Like, the knife went in his eye. Like, I didn't miss. That's not how that works.
I had combat in Baldur's Gate 3, and I counted. I missed nine times in a row with separate characters all making attack rolls. They all
good
missed.
Good God.
Brutal.
It's karmic. That is the XCOM nature of it.
Karmic dice, which is an option that you can turn on in Baldur's Gate 3, will weigh your streaks one way or the other. So if you miss too many times, it'll give you a hit or a critical, vice versa.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, man, I want the true random nature of D&D.
Yeah.
And sometimes it kicks you in the fucking dick, dude.
It really does.
Yeah.
Right on the tip.
There's literally a question mark on my map with all my characters, and we all went to it, and we all failed our perception roll. So there's just nothing there, and I'm like, I can't see what's here.
Bye.
Yep.
You can bring in another character from camp. Hope they succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm like, fuck.
I had a funny moment with that. It was like, I went to go read this note, and my character failed a religion check, and was like, yeah, it's just note. So I swapped to another character, had them pick it up, read it, and he was like, oh yeah, it's just a note. I was like, fuck. Get the third one. They pick it up. Hey, there's something to this.
Okay. Just like real D&D.
Your third character looks at the other two like, oh, you fuckers can't read. This is English.
It very much is that D&D thing of like, somebody will fucking get it, right?
Yeah.
But there's no DM. Again, like,
no one will. Yeah,
but there's no DM rolling their fucking eyes about it.
Yeah, like, hey, you can't all roll perception checks. Yeah, like,
yeah, exactly.
It's like, I fucking made this. You guys better find it. God damn it. That's so funny. Anyways, back to Morrowind. That game's pretty fun.
It did give birth to one of the greatest memes of with this character's death, the prophecy's been severed. Reload a save game or continue in a doomed world.
Yeah,
kind of just
which I thought was cool because they didn't bring essential NPCs in until Oblivion.
What do you mean? They didn't have essential NPCs in Morrowind?
Everyone can die in Morrowind.
Right.
That's the whole point of that message. If somebody dies,
well, they're still essential NPCs, but in Oblivion, they're like, you can't kill them.
That's what I mean by essential. Yeah.
Okay. They'll just ragdoll forever, which is so funny.
And then they'll just get up and brush themselves off. Yeah, like, oh, that's crazy.
This is fucking crazy. It is so goofy. Just throw a dude off a fucking mountain and they'll just get up at the end of it like it wasn't a big deal. Anyways, you been playing anything else, Mike? You want to talk about our Final Fantasy 14 adventure? The Power Rangers Moonfire Festival thing?
Was it an adventure?
No.
No, it wasn't. I signed into well, so it's funny, is like the 14 has that thing with the summer festival that they do every year. This year you get like a Power Ranger glamour thing. So of course Kyle wanted to play it and he's like, maybe I'll resub just to do this. And then all of a sudden 14 day free sign in thing came in and he was like, perfect. Signed in, went and got his thing. And it was the worst quest of all time.
Usually
you have to do something.
Really?
Most of the time with these things, you have to do something, like go do some fates, do like some kind of quest.
Hold on, just listen to that sentence. Most of these quests, you have to do something.
Yeah, this one you don't. Isn't that fucking terrible? You go in, you view a cutscene, you move to another guy, you view a cutscene, you move to another guy, you view a cutscene, but there's some dialogue options that don't fucking matter. Oh. And
well, one of them, you can tell someone to drink water, which I thought was kind of fun. So thanks for that.
I did enjoy that. And you can't skip it, though. So blow my fucking brains out because it was terrible. But you get the Power Ranger suit at the end. All is well. And you move on with your life.
Man, they're just letting anyone be Power Rangers these days.
True.
Literally. Yeah.
That's actually what it's about. In a big way. It's really what this, like, the whole quest series is about.
It was just goofy as fuck. Like, they could have did anything, and they just chose to do it like this.
Yeah, I was a little
disappointed. The fact that they had one Power Ranger who wasn't actually a Power Ranger to begin with, and then, like, at the end, you fight a quote-unquote monster, which looked like a pretty cool, like, oh, they're going to do, like, a kaiju thing. Sick. And you're going to, like, fight alongside the Power Ranger and fight this thing. No, it's just a cutscene of him fighting the thing by himself. And I'm like, why the fuck am I here? And then they're like, hey, do you also want a suit? I'm like, yeah, I guess I'll take this and dishonorably wear it where the fuck ever I go. But it looks cool. I mean, for a Final Fantasy designed Power Ranger costume, it looks sick as shit.
It's pretty sick.
And me and Mike met up at our beach house, which is awesome that we have. I got to see that. And I got to show Micah my shelf of cheeses.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
about
that.
So, confirmed shelf of cheeses, which was nice.
Yeah.
And then we met up on the beach. I got the Red Ranger suit. Mike's got the Black Ranger suit. I think Josh has got one today.
Yeah, he did white, and Cammy is doing hers. And I think she's doing pink.
Fuck yeah.
Nice.
And, got them all.
Hell yeah. So, like, we're getting close. But,
yeah, Mike, you need to hop in and do this 15-minute cutscene so you can get your Green Ranger suit.
And then fuck off.
Nah.
Fine.
Can't help it. I'm just Baldur's Gate, man.
That's fair. Big fair. But I have been playing that in between Baldur's Gate as well because I'm pretty heavy back into it. And I'm caught up in the story, which the story has been fucking awesome. I'm catching up in the Raid series, and the Raid series has been pretty sick. Some really dope fights in that. And then just doing like my daily chores and stuff, you know, typical Final Fantasy 14 stuff.
And I broke everything.
How could you? I trusted you.
You said you were playing the 5v5 PvP mode that they had in there.
I played a few. I jumped back into PvP because I realized there's like a seasonal series for these now. And there's some unlocks you can get from it, including like some currency to go buy some of the sickest armor in the fucking game. So I started doing like the daily bonus, like PvP roulettes and stuff like that. But then I noticed there was a new thing that it's not new now. It came out with Endwalker, but it's called Crystalline Conflict. And that's like a 5v5, like push the boulder kind of gameplay. Like you have a winding path. And you stand inside of the thing and it moves down the path. And basically you're pushing it back and forth. But gotcha. it's a floating crystal. And it's like, as soon as it starts, as soon as you leave the opening area, it gives you like this insane sprint where you just haul ass to the center to meet the other team, and it's super fast paced. It's really fun. My first round went incredibly well. I got a lot of KOs. My second round, K-O. I got fucking dicked bad. Like, barely got to play, and I was like, ah, there's the two sides of the spectrum.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
PvP.
And you got ranked, got put up here, and got demolished.
Yeah, exactly. So I did it a little bit, and I'll probably play it here and there because I do want the cool armors and the mounts and stuff.
Me too. I think PvP sounds very fun, so I'd be down to like get in there, coordinate.
It is pretty fun.
Fuck, what class did you play?
What do you mean?
During PvP?
Oh, Machinist.
Machinist?
Okay. Yeah, you do get a completely different rotation when playing in PvP. The classes play completely different.
Do they take out certain like spells or whatever?
Like you have far less skills in PvP.
Oh, that's how they balance it. Okay.
Yeah, and have completely new skills that don't exist normally in PvP.
Oh, really?
Whoa. Yeah, it's really interesting in that way.
That sounds like a mess.
If they balance it right, it's fine.
I'm sure it makes it work. Yeah,
it makes it work. Because if I had my normal rotation, it would be ridiculous. I would just fucking demolish as a machinist. So they kind of scale it back a little bit for everyone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And a lot of those skills have like additional things to them. Like this skill that normally just does damage as a, like in single player in PvP, this has a bind effect now, you know, that kind of stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Plus a machinist has a fucking sniper rifle as like a giant cooldown skill in PvP, which I'm just so here for.
Good stuff. That game's like fucking what, 12 years old now?
So old.
It's like 9 years old. It's almost 10 years old now.
It's over 10 years old.
But now it's time for the news. It may or might not be news. Yeah. For today's news, there's some stuff. It all seems kind of fun. Let's talk about it. Tekken 8 announced finally a brand new character for their roster of characters. Azucena, which is a coffee-craving fighter from Peru. Lore-wise, we don't know what to expect, but it's a very confident fighter. Seems very cool. It's a coffee gimmick, so if you like that, then you have it. Thanks, Tekken. I'm excited to play some more Tekken, or in general, but I am still worried about their whole, like, you know, rollback code thing. We've talked about that already.
Did Tekken have a beta, or was that Mortal Kombat recently?
It has one soon.
Is that for PC or just console? I don't know if Tekken's coming to PC also, sorry.
It is.
It might be both.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's both.
Yeah. I don't know why, but somehow Street Fighter being on PC escaped me. So when I was scrolling through Steam the other day and it was there, a part of my brain went, the second that game drops to $40, you're picking it up. And it's only because it's on PC.
They're bringing Raven back for Tekken 8. Let's fucking go. I haven't watched any of these reveal trailers yet, so I'm going to be watching that while you talk.
Nice. Have you guys seen any of the reveal trailers for Mortal Kombat 1? They just revealed Reptile, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looked pretty cool.
That's cool. He's a dude again.
Yeah.
He's good. Just a man.
Well, same thing with Raven.
He's a reptile that can transform into a human, which makes him an outcast, which I was like, that's cool.
Sure.
Reptile is code for deep state.
Interesting.
Ooh,
Joe.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very curious about the game. I'm gonna pick up Mortal Kombat. I want to have all the modern fighting games, like Mortal Kombat, Tekken, Street Fighter. Like, got to at this point. Like, they seem awesome as fuck. I'm just confused by the story of Liu Kang being ascended to a god. Fire god Liu Kang is what they call him, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
He is now able to recreate the world in his own vision, correct?
Okay. Yeah.
That's what he did, yes.
So why is all this shit just happening again?
Well, that's why you have to watch the story, dumbass.
He did a terrible job.
Well, did he give people free will, or is he controlling every single person?
Well, I don't know. He should have fixed it.
Well, he didn't. So that's why. Well, yeah, like Mike said,
he literally goes and finds a dude for Mortal Kombat in one of the cutscenes. He's like, oh, I need to choose you for. So Mortal Kombat's still a thing. He's done nothing to stop any of that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe we're going to find out that being a god isn't as easy, and he's going to fucking find that out.
I don't think like the toasty fighting game is the one I should be arguing about. Like,
yeah. he's a god.
Continuity.
You know, he's a god of Earth realm. There is other gods for other realms. So it's
dude,
he doesn't control everything.
Can we have an 11, like he goes over like the elder gods' heads and like he's the big chief.
Let this be an example of how good the lore has gotten in Mortal Kombat. The fact that we're sitting here debating the morality of how gods should act. Like, Mortal Kombat lore is not to be slept on. They have been kicking ass.
Yeah.
Like, they're
also, that to be said, like, if you do decide to pick up Street Fighter 6, I highly recommend anyone do it.
It looks like so much fun.
Yeah, even if you're just like a single player kind of person and you want to play through the world tour stuff, that's like 30, 40 hours worth of content right there for you. And it's actually pretty fun.
And
the story's interesting.
My thing has been since Injustice 1, if a fighting game has a good story mode, then for me, it's like, if I'm going in for a good story, sure. Fighting games probably have a story I haven't heard before. And Mortal Kombat is kind of that example to me. Because Mortal Kombat story is fucking crazy. And it's hard to keep up with because it's so wild. But I don't know. Like, Mike plays Tekken. You play a lot of Street Fighter. I'm like, fuck it. Mortal Kombat's going to come out. I'll pick that up and try to get good at it so Joe won't beat me at it as quickly.
Yeah.
At least within a couple weeks, I'll be better. And then he'll...
Definitely down to... have all the fighting games for the PlayStation 5.
Yeah. God, I fucking hate you.
You don't even have to buy it or master it. You could play it like 2 times and you'll have the download and we'll be upset and it sucks.
What game is easier with its, like, I know Mortal Kombat obviously has the fatalities, but like, what game is easier with its combos? Tekken, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. You think Street Fighter?
Mortal.
The combos in Tekken are pretty fluid once you learn them, but you have to learn them. They're not like, it's not like the most intuitive thing in the world. Like, Tekken's a game you have to lab for sure.
And then, Kyle, doesn't Street Fighter involve like half circle movements or something?
It does. It's like mostly like, you know, you play on an arcade, you have a stick.
Yeah.
It's usually about like rotating that stick. So it's just translates quarter circle, to half the, circle.
Yeah.
Quarter circle, half circle, and stuff. But I always use D-pad. Like, I feel like most gamepad players
use D-pad.
Like, don't use D-pad should be using D-pad.
That's the shit.
You can actually get which direction you're going to.
Yeah.
And most controllers now have like omnidirectional D-pad, so it actually makes it like buttery smooth to do. And Street Fighter does a very good job of showing you combos in their training modes and all that stuff. Like, it'll show you all kinds of ways that you can like chain stuff together. It is tricky and you do have to be quick. That is the one thing where I feel like Mortal Kombat is chunky and slow and probably the worst about combos, I think. All right. Good job, Mike.
I snapped.
He's the one editing. Yeah. He knows.
I know it is. I know who the fuck it is. I know who the fuck I am. Do you know who the fuck you are, Kyle? I didn't fucking
think
so. For our
next piece of news, Pokemon had a showcase. On. Apparently, it was terrible.
Yeah.
They showed Mew and Mewtwo fighting. Maybe they're going to be in the new DLC, and maybe it'll run at 20 fucking frames per second. Oof. Enjoy. I don't care. Fuck off. Don't buy that. Don't talk to me no more if you're playing that. Don't look at me.
It is actually...
Shut up.
You get... So you can get Mew and Mewtwo, right? You can get Mew by typing in a code, get your Mew, and it'll just give it to you. And then then if you want to get Mewtwo, you go fight him in the feature that not a lot of people like, because they need those numbers to be good. And so you go do that, and then you get Mewtwo.
It's a raid, right?
Yeah, and a lot of those raids are not seen as like the better feature.
Apparently those raids are incredibly fucking unbalanced now, and people are getting super pissed about them.
And so they're like, hey, go fight Mewtwo, one of the most powerful things we've ever created in this franchise. It will probably kill you in one shot. We don't give a shit. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game freak.
Yeah, it's counting on a bunch of completionists to go do it.
Have you guys ever read that thread? This is related, about why Mewtwo in the first movie shields Ash's punch.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Ash is jacked as fuck. Yeah.
What? Is this
Ash
a real
is
thing?
Jacked as fuck. Apparently he's like Super Saiyan strong.
There's a scene of him holding like some legendary Pokemon in one of the later movies. And when you pull up that Pokemon's Pokedex entry, it weighs like 6,000 pounds or some absurd shit like that. So fucking Ash was finna fade Mewtwo all by himself, and Mewtwo knew this, so he had to stop it. before he got fucking vaporized.
I fucking love when fucking creators miss out on shit like that, and then these crazy fan theories come about. Like,
these are not fan theories. This is a canonical Ash Ketchum is jacked as fuck.
Have you guys ever heard the theory that Indiana Jones actually doesn't need to be in any of his movies? Very specifically, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Everything that happens in that movie happens with him or without him, no matter what.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I got
it. He's just a fly on the wall, man. Good.
In a way.
He also played Dark Side of the Moon, and it'll line up.
Shit!
Oh, my God. It's pretty cool. Devolver Digital had their showcase.
Oh, miss which this. Was
I actually very fun.
It was the... It was like four or five games that were bravely going to be delayed into 2024.
Was that their whole thing? The
Devolver Digital Delayed Showcase.
That's amazing.
They've always been fucking on it with their bullshit.
Why will not big companies lean into this? Like, look what happens when you do. They literally base the showcase around delaying games and were like, well, that's hilarious. What's up? Like...
Yeah, so I can't remember all of them, but the few that I was actually kind of disappointed by was The Plucky Squire, which actually looks like a really cool Devolver Digital game. Check it out. It's like a 2D, 3D, like mixed media kind of game.
Interesting.
And then Skate Story, unfortunately, that was on my draft, but it's also a game I really want to play, which is that
weird.
You were made of glass skating through hell. Tony Hawk made in like a trippy thing. I'm like, oh, I really want to play that game. So that along with some others are delayed until 2024. I actually really love that they had this showcase. It was very funny. They're always very humorous with their content and everything. And it made it seem very lighthearted that, you know, they were delaying some games.
It's the way to do it. And it's both funny and transparent, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's usually been Devolver's shtick.
We also just need more games delayed because there's too many fucking games out right now.
Sure.
True.
And we don't need that.
Okay.
And for our next piece of news, Red Dead Redemption is being ported to the PlayStation 4 and the Switch.
Duh, fuck!
Just as is.
It's going to be...
Enjoy.
It's going to be another Grand Theft Auto situation for Rockstar.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
just
they really
a port.
Don't give a shit.
It's not straight a remaster, port, not a port. Remake, just a port, and it's $50 fucking.
30 frames per second. It's got to fit on. It's got to make it work on the Switch. This is also being ported by the same team that recently worked on like a slew of games that ported terribly, like Crackdown and something else that I can't remember off the top of my head. But the team does not have a very
how do you mess up Crackdown?
The team does not have a very good reputation for ports. So this is interesting. And
it's going to be bad.
It's probably just the cheapest way for them to get away with this, I guess.
Well, there was also, and again, nothing substantiated. There were rumors that they were they were putting Red Dead 1 through the remake process, and then all the Grand Theft Auto trilogy shit happened, and they put a halt on like that shit, and then they were like, let's just get this out for a preservation sake of like, here it is on a newer-ish console, and you can play it if you want it. It's there. Shut up. Like, because nobody wanted this game the way it was. Everybody, for the most part, was like, I want a remake or bring it up a little bit as much as you can, maybe to 60 FPS and maybe a better resolution if you can. Like,
something,
but not just this. Because, like, when you have the disc and you put it into a newer Xbox, it up-reses and does some of those things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what the fuck?
And it's still not on PC, so you can't really do that shit yourself either.
Yeah. It's still not on PC.
Just on console.
This is just PS4. And if you have PS5, you can buy the PS4 version, but your PS5 will not do anything to it. Just so you guys are aware, when you put in UFC 4 made by EA Sports, it will bring up everything about that game. Like, it will bring up the
frame
rate.
Normally true of most games, yeah.
Normally true of it, without buying any kind of PS5 upgrade for it, it'll just naturally bring it up. Because that's what the PS4 Pro did. It gave you the options.
As nature intended.
Red Dead Remake, the port, or Red Dead Port of 1 will not even do any of that. It's just nope. It is this fucking version. Deal with it.
Yeah, this is how this game runs.
It's dude. What a terrible way to build. You have two big misses before your potential end of next year release of Grand Theft Auto 6. Dude, Grand Theft Auto 6
just doesn't fucking matter.
Grand Theft Auto 6 better look better than Red Dead 2, because Red Dead 2 was crazy.
Yeah,
it still is. Okay.
This is also coming out like days before Armored Core and every other giant fucking game. That's only going to be like $10 more than this. So
it's a very weird move that's just got me going, why? Because like I know the answer is money, but like who's going to pay for this? Like who wants this? Like who are you selling this to? It's like it's so strange.
Yeah.
I don't think they're really selling it to anybody. I feel like they're putting this out to die on purpose just to be like, hey, we did this. We don't really... And just
we tried.
Really showing that they do not care. Not even that they tried, that they don't care. They're like, oh, yeah, we were doing this. We worked on this project. We're done with it. Now we're getting all hands on deck on GTA 6 because that's going to be the thing that they put out next that they're actually going to care about, because that's going to make them the craziest amount of money ever.
The new
they make
couch,
so much money Luke. That it doesn't matter.
Malk.
All right. I agree. Anyway.
There was another showcase recently, too.
What was it?
THQ Nordic did their showcase.
Oh, yeah.
Fairly recently. They announced, I'm looking at 9 games here, and one of them's really on my radar, purely out of nostalgia.
Go on.
But I'll rapid fire these real quick. They got Titan Quest 2, which is cool. Top-down action RPG. Alone in the Dark. Psychological horror, if you're into that. It's one of the tags is Lovecraftian.
Ooh. Yep.
Alone
in the Dark was good.
Outcast, which is action third-person shooter open world. I'm just reading tags in case you couldn't tell. Some of the screenshots look sci-fi and mystical. I love it. Last Train Home, if you ever wanted your RTS to come jam-packed with all the train action, you got it.
Let's go.
Tempest Rising, another RTS base building game. Sci-fi, looks cool. Recreation, spelled like wreck, like a car wreck. Racing, action, arcade. Cool. It kind of looks like Trackmania shit. Looks cool. Space for Sale. Space Sim. Sandbox kind of thing.
All right.
Soldner. Soldner. The O has an umlaut. Action shooter, destruction, third-person shooter. And the one I'm looking forward to is a early PC classic they are remaking. They are remaking Gothic 1, which is fucking move.
I've never heard of that one, I don't think.
This kind of like was the predecessor to a lot of dark... like just brutal open world RPGs. It was the predecessor to Risen before Risen 2 and Risen 3 just shat all over the franchise. Very brutal, very slow paced on purpose kind of thing.
Okay.
And it was a big cult classic in the early PC days. So that's big for people who care.
That's cool.
Hmm.
Is that all that's on that list?
That is all that is currently on this list. A lot of real cool announcements. I am excited for a handful of these.
They did also drop the trailer for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Last Ronin game.
So. Joe and Mike, Kyle, you're
it's
familiar.
Just a teaser thing.
You're familiar with that story, right?
Yeah.
Kyle, Joe and her Mike, are you guys familiar with that story?
Yeah.
I couldn't give a fuck less, honestly.
Really? Oh, I don't man, I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It's a cool concept.
Yeah.
And it might be a cool game. Like, I don't particularly care too much for the franchise either. But if a good game's a good game, the story's neat. So I will say that much. It's a little more mature and interesting. As I guess mature and interesting as you can get with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You guys have all seen
the
live action
game,
movies.
Man. How are you not enthralled? Yeah.
You guys have all seen the live action movies, correct?
Yeah.
Maybe like the first two.
Favorite, yeah. My favorite scene is the one with the teeth.
Yeah, of course, obviously.
Which
but
one?
Did you guys ever watch the animated show too?
Which
of
one?
Yes. The original like 90s, like late 80s, early 90s. Yes.
The original one was really good, and there was even a reboot in the early 2000s that was pretty fucking
like
good
computer animated?
There's a ton of reboots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the one Joe's talking about was that's the one's been received well.
All right.
Anyway, sorry. Love TMNT.
Should be.
That's fine. That's it. That's all I got. Okay. That's all for topics.
Wait, I got one more thing.
No!
God fucking damn it. What the fuck do you say, Joe?
No, it's a good shit-talking fest. We're going to love it. Trust me. Overwatch 2 is officially, quote, Steam's worst game.
What?
Oh, yeah. Some dude, like, rallied people to just start leaving negative reviews on Overwatch because it was already getting a shitload. And now it is, like, the worst reviewed game ever.
Pulling it up now. Currently overwhelmingly negative with a overall review score of 9%.
Wow.
Oh my God.
This is incredible.
The thing is, like, it just finally came to Steam not too long ago.
Like, literally,
so now it can be reviewed.
Yeah.
It came to Steam three days ago.
And people are upset.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say like a month ago. 3 days.
And of course, the top comment, which was shared into the Discord not long ago, was the people who make Overwatch porn work harder than the people who make Overwatch. Punish.
I can't, besides Diablo 4 shitting the literal fucking bed recently with some of their dev streams and updates recently.
Oh really?
Yeah, there was
it's bad.
Did you guys hear about this? They did like a
Diablo
dev stream and like
in a state.
Yeah, and one of the dev streams that just happened recently, there was like four devs on screen. You'd have to go back and look at it. I watched an Asmongold video in the background as I was doing stuff. It looks like the female dev wasn't even playing the game. Like, she was doing the most random ass button presses. Like, it didn't make any sense for like what was happening on screen.
Kind of going back to their bullshit.
It was weird stuff. I would recommend go watch some stuff on it. But yeah, that stream did not go over well. Like, they've just been shit in the bed recently too, man. Like, Diablo 4 launched strongly, but then,
it was just a game that I just kind of wanted to play with my friends and get through the story and be done with anyways.
I never even finished the story in 4, man. I'm not going to lie. Going back, I wish I would have saved the money.
Me too, because like I was the one who said this specific thing, and it's totally fucking true, is that they just showed us what we wanted to see first.
I think now we're seeing
Blizzard, it's unfortunate. I fell for it too.
I think the new thing to look out for in marketing is play with your friends. I think that's the thing that gets people like us who have a strong friend group and who like to play games together. So that appeal is super strong. And so it's like, that might have to be the thing to be hesitant about now.
Yeah,
it's super strange.
What's so funny is like, if you saw a line graph of how much we played this game, it was the sharp uphill and then a very sharp decline.
Yeah.
Immediately. It's like we played it and then we didn't. It's like, holy
shit.
Also,
Final Fantasy came out like 2 days later or whatever the fuck.
This has been a heavy stream of game flows, but games you can play with your friends. Think about it. 3 to 4 of us have Remnant 2 and Diablo 4. Which game are we more likely to go back to given the choice? Probably Remnant.
I
think that's a prime example right there. The fact that Diablo 4 can't pull us back from a game from something else like Remnant 2, like that's a statement.
Yeah.
You know, we like to play games with our friends, but the moment someone brings up, hey, we should golf, all of a sudden, no.
I mean,
well, the game's got to be fun.
Yeah,
like,
that's fun for me.
It's fun for me too. I could probably play any game with friends, but at some point, somebody's going to be like, hey, does this suck? And we're all going to be like, yeah, it does.
It's the moment that
it only takes one person breaking the glass.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is this fucking awful?
Huh.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought of it before.
That's what happened with Sons of the Forest, but it was after we finished the game and everybody collectively at the same time was like, that game kind of sucked, didn't it?
We all collectively deleted it out of our memories for like a month.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it.
Yeah, we did that. We beat that game. Was that this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it a game of the year contender?
We finished the game and we're like, we'll talk about it on the next episode. And we did it.
Yep. Whatever. For today's topic, what video game vehicle do you want to have? I mean, pick for me a video game vehicle.
In before Warthog.
It's just Warthog.
How is it not the vehicle from fucking Final Fantasy 15?
Can I pick any of the bullshit contraptions I made in Tears of the Kingdom?
The regalia?
The regalia, yeah. That's a good one.
The fucking speed racer of cars.
Does chocobo count? That's a vehicle, right?
Technically, yeah. It's a vehicle.
An animal vehicle.
Consider it.
Hmm.
See, pogging the fuck out right now, writes in with the Nike One 2002 from Gran Turismo 4. Since apparently Nike wanted to make a concept car 17 or so years ago into the future. It's a pretty interesting looking car. It kind of looks like what I would call a shoe.
What the fuck? I'd drive that shoe.
It's kind of neat. Yeah, I'd drive that shoe.
We kind of miss, while we're talking about driving shoes, the Monopoly piece, the shoe.
Yep, there we go.
Unsaint Nick writes in with, I'm going to go with a good old-fashioned M12 Warthog from Halo.
Classic.
Nice. Classic. Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome, writes in with Bad Moon's Jets. From Daka Moriella for speed. I don't know what that means.
Sure.
Is that Warhammer?
Words.
This looks like some Warhammer.
Oh, shit.
It's sure like does. A fucking crescent moon spaceship.
You sure that's not a Final Fantasy dope. Class? I don't know.
Bad moons. Interesting. I don't know. I'm out of name ideas. Brisk writes in with the F-Zero car. I'm not sure which one it is, but it definitely looks like Captain Falcon's.
Yeah.
F-Zero. It's pretty fucking sick.
Drive that thing. Watch as your bones turn to jelly because you can't take the G's.
You're right. Yeah. You will die and you'll love it.
Mm-hmm. President Ketchup writes in with probably a mech suit from either Titanfall or Armored Core.
Is that a vehicle? Sick as fuck.
I don't know. It depends on parking spots in the future. Yeah.
So let's break this down. How do we define vehicle?
Point A to point B.
There.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That's how the fucking
trebuchet is a vehicle.
That's how the United States classifies it. Can you put a fucking registration on it? There you go.
Can you
I'm gonna preface this by saying I've literally never played a round of this game before, but give me the battle bus from Fortnite because it's basically just the magic school bus.
He's not wrong. Great call, Mike. Great call.
Huh. Interesting.
But if that's also the case, I will take the fucking glider from Breath of the Wild. Ooh.
Yeah, fucking just jump off the hill and just...
Hold on.
Good exercise.
Does the stamina bar come with the glider? Or is that just
no.
a...
That's
okay.
your stamina that's your bar. Stamina. How far are you going, buddy?
Ooh.
Why is it draining so fast?
Oh, no. I gotta fall for 20,000 feet and then hold that bitch up for the last 100.
Oh, your arms will just rip right the fuck off, dude.
Mike, oh, man, we're going to play with physics now? That's when physics apply in Zelda games? That's when it doesn't work? Yep. Okay, get fucked.
He's got
Zelda.
Young boy arms. They're supple.
The defining factor is from point A to point B, and in Mike's case, with the glider, it's 3 feet.
That's when physics don't apply. Get fucked, Zelda.
Beerkiller 75 rides in with the sweet tooth ice cream truck.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
I feel like that always comes up.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hey, Kyle, right, you just
good one.
Kyle, you just got Morrowind, so how about a Silt Strider?
Sure. Those things are pretty sick.
Give me Axel's car from Twist of Metal, the dude who's just in the center.
Yeah.
The two wheels on either side.
Yeah, but that's also going to have the same effect as the glider situation because Axel is the axle of the wheels.
I'll just train. It'll be okay.
Have you guys heard that the Twisted Metal series is apparently not that bad? It's actually...
Yeah, good. I'm hearing a lot of people say it's good.
All the commercials made it look fucking terrible. And apparently it's good. Like it's okay.
Great.
The commercial was like the worst scene of the entire show.
Like, wow.
Wow.
It just goes to show you, man. Most of us could do their job.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I guess I did the right thing by choosing the worst scene because every other scene was the best.
Nothing but up from there.
Yeah, nothing but up. They set the expectations and everyone was subverted. Good job.
The old Kansas City shuffle.
I'll take a TIE fighter. Good old fashioned TIE fighter.
It happened in video old fashioned.
It was a long time ago. So,
give me a racing pod.
So it's old fashioned.
So I could say this is pod racing.
Nice.
Yeah. While you're pod racing.
Makes sense. Pod racing.
Oh, I guess
so I can scream. It's working.
I would take the mantis from Jedi Fallen Order. Since it's starts, since
no, it's I don't think you will.
I don't know.
It's the ship from that you walk around in and that you have in Jedi Fallen Order and Survivor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sick.
The mantis. I'll take the Pillar of Autumn. XCOM? Pillar of Autumn. God damn it! Fuck! Why didn't we think of this?
Yeah, that's fucking it.
Whole country worth of ship.
Yeah.
What was the ship's name in Mass Effect? The second one?
The Normandy?
Normandy, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Normandy would be
Normandy's
dope.
A good one.
Yeah. Give me the whole Citadel. Man, Kyle kind of...
Like the Ishimura.
Oh, no, Kyle, no!
Dead space.
No, Kyle!
Pre-marker.
pre-marker. Okay.
Wait. Okay. Is it? Are we? I was about to say, is it new Ishimura or is it used Ishimura?
No, fresh off the line, Ishimura, please.
you buy the used Ishimura. It's a fixer-upper. I got some cleaning up to do.
Goth kids are going to love it.
It's haunted.
Sick.
Kyle has fucked me up. Like, I got to play through the Mass Effect trilogy for the first time,
too.
Like, 2 years ago. But now he was like, oh, Larian Studios should do something like the next Mass Effect. And I was like, God damn it. Like,
yeah,
the next Mass Effect will not be good to me now.
it wasn't going to
be anyway.
I know.
That's so sad.
Yeah,
dude,
poor
Dragon Age.
Yeah,
Dragon Age.
They're so fucked.
Where's Dragon Age?
Fucked.
You know, we didn't talk about this in the news, but there's a lot of like developers coming out and like naysaying Baldur's Gate 3 because they're just so fucking terrified the new bar being set.
They're like, this is an anomaly. You can't expect this.
You work for Blizzard.
Do that.
Yeah, you work for a multi-billion-dollar company. You can't do this. This is an independent
thing.
Turns out
it takes talent. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, just talent. Talent and hard work. Holy shit. Maybe you should try that out.
Shit.
I'm assuming you guys all saw that reply from the developer.
I'm not sure.
No, I didn't.
I didn't see
that one that said, like, hey, this is an anomaly. They're like, they have this budget. They have this. And the response was from a developer from Larian was, what budget?
Yeah, because they were talking about the IP specifically giving them a shitload of budget. And they were like, no, we paid for the license for it. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. They shopped it out and we paid for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They literally proved that they could make this exact type of game with their previous two games. Like, their portfolio shows that they have experience in this exact field.
So here's the thing.
They built up to this point by putting out better game after better game after better game over the years.
Divinity 1 and 2 are still excellent games that you can go back and totally have a great time
because of Baldur's Gate 3. I will be picking up Divinity Original Sin 2 again.
You should.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good. But the point of that was, like, if anybody should be sweating right now, it is for sure BioWare, because they will never hit this height of game ever. And this is the type of games they used to make. They were the height of
RPGs.
They're a huge influence on this type of game.
They did Baldur's Gate 2, didn't they? Did they not?
I don't think so.
I thought they did one of those original ones. But yeah, you guys will look that up.
Yeah. I'm gonna look it up.
Oh yeah, they did Baldur's Gate 2. Oh, that's so terrifying.
Wow.
They just came in and took
you. What a change of guard. But here's the thing.
Lunch.
All those Wizards of the Coast shopped that out. So plenty of companies bid on it. And it wasn't just Larian. Like, dude, I think about all the bids my company puts out. Seven, eight, nine, 10 companies bid on this license. Larian won. What the fuck was their pitch and what was their offer?
So.
And they won it. Well, like, that speaks for
BioWare
itself.
Imagine trying to tackle Baldur's Gate 3 as they are.
We wouldn't see it till
it
our
been a piece
late
of shit.
40s. Yeah.
It would have been a piece of shit.
It would have been a piece of shit game. Nobody would have liked.
Yeah.
Larian came in. They're like, let me show you how to make a fucking Game Boy.
Dude, they were so confident. They put out Act 1. The game's been out for over a week. The overwhelming majority of people haven't left Act 1.
Right.
Yep.
Like,
I haven't either.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's so good, dude.
Allegedly, too, with following the success of Baldur's Gate 3, I guess Microsoft allegedly floated an offer to which the CEO basically said, no, we're
good.
Larian's here to stay. We have much more stories to tell as ourselves.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's so funny. Shit. Fucking Microsoft is so goddamn greedy right now. like, hey, can we, yeah, we'll take you under our wing, nope, give you a fresh check. And they're like, we don't need your fucking check. We just sold millions, bud.
Dude, yeah. 800, over 800,000 concurrents. They planned their servers for whatever
for
they needed.
100.
For 100,000.
Yep.
That's how overestimated they were. Like, I'm so happy for them, dude. I cannot wait for Divinity Original Sin 3. I'm going to go back and play 2.
Yeah.
Like, they have won me over.
I'm playing 1 again.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that was fun too.
Yeah, like, they have won me over in such a big way.
Baldur's Gate 3, when it was just in early access, sold 2.5 million copies.
Oh my God. I didn't know that.
Makes sense.
That was pre-launch sales.
Dude, worth it. My sister bought a new laptop just to play Baldur's Gate 3. My sister had not
had it sold 1 million more after release in 6 days.
Holy shit.
Oh my God. That's so
heavy. Game of the Year is going to be an interesting one.
Baldur's Gate 3 is at the top of my list right now.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2.
Might be Game of the Year. Fuck, man.
Spider-Man 2, Armored Core 6 are some tough competitors. Starfield. Hopefully Starfield will see. But I'll be honest with you, I don't think Starfield touches Baldur's Gate 3 between Spider-Man.
No. I'm sure Starfield's going to be a pretty sick game, and it looks like it's going to be fun, yeah, but I don't think it's going to touch this.
I'm going to wait on the reviews for that one.
Same.
Sons of the Forest?
I don't know.
Sons of the Forest was fun with you guys.
It's funny that Final Fantasy 16 came out this year, and it's probably not even going to be in my top five.
And we're not even talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. It was great. It was a great game. Yeah. Nothing against it. It's just what it's going up against this year is so insane.
I'm looking forward to the end of year Game Awards.
That's going to be intense.
Yeah, it's actually going to be tight. Nuts.
Dude, Tears of the Kingdom.
Core coming out.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Has earned it. Baldur's Gate 3 has earned it. Yeah. Spider-Man 2 could potentially be up there. Ragnarok. Was that this year? God of War Ragnarok?
No.
Was that last year? God, so, fuck.
Remember,
it feels
we
like
got
this
the
year.
5 minute. Because we got the 5 minute.
Oh,
speech.
You're right. No, eight. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Resident Evil 4 remake came out this year.
Resident Evil 4 remake. Fuck,
oh
man.
My God, I forgot.
16.
That game was fucking perfect.
16's gonna earn it.
Shit.
16's definitely gonna earn some people's game of the year for sure.
Something, I guess.
It's gonna,
nah, fuck.
I mean, I don't know
it'll
about
probably
game
win
shows,
some other awards. I don't know if it'll do game of the year.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Square Enix came out and said that Final Fantasy 16 didn't meet their high expectations for sales.
See, that's amazing.
I've seen two different things. I've seen that it did. It oversold their expectations, and I've seen it didn't meet it. So it just depends on what source you fucking come from. Who knows?
Interesting.
Are you saying media is biased?
Again.
Media is biased.
I think
whatever gets clicks.
I think 16 was great.
Here from SquareEnix.com, everything's fine, apparently.
I would, again, man, 16 was great. I would love to see some of the things they did to like bring people into the game continue into 17. 17 should definitely be that 2.5D art. Or whatever that's called.
I would love that.
Pixel art.
That's probably never going to. They'll probably never do that for mainline. Like that. They'll just do that for like spinoffs and
dude,
stuff.
Dude, I'm waiting for the next Crystal Chronicles. What's up?
Give me fucking Tactics 2, man.
Tactic. Yeah. New graphics. Make an XCOM Final Fantasy. Let's
go.
That's what we need.
Bro. All right, give me XCOM 3. Everybody shut the fuck up.
Okay.
Yeah, give me that too. thanks everyone for listening to the Metal Gamers Podcast.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Listen to metal, play some video games.
Or don't.
There's plenty of them.
This is the Baldur's Gate circle jerk.
Yeah. There will be more.
That's right. I wonder what Joe's up to. Playing on that Nintendo 64. I need to get him a copy of Dual Heroes. Because I saw somebody trying to break down the worst fighting games of all time, and they came up against Dual Heroes, and they're like, look at this piece of shit. But then they play through the whole thing, and they're like, actually, this is kind of great. And I was like, yeah, fuck you.
Did you play Dual Heroes or something growing up?
Oh, yeah. Like, I got that game. It was very fucking random, but it was very much like a Power Rangers-esque fighting game, and it's very fucking cool. And it has a last boss that, like, you defeat him, and then, like, he turns into, like, an ultra boss, like, kind of like how Tekken does or Dead or Alive does sometimes.
It's okay.
Like, ooh, secret final boss. And then you beat him again, and he transforms into, like, a mystic alien dude, and I'm like, what's happening? It's, like, very trippy and weird.